Welcome to another inspirational message courtesy of BibleCities.com. For more teachings like this and other free Christian resources, please visit our website at www.BibleCities.com. Now let's join Reverend Slide Moran as he delivers another powerful teaching from the Word of God.
Are we all ready to receive from the Word of God tonight? Yes. Praise God. Well, if we're going to receive from the Word of God, we should be able to look in the Word of God. Amen? See, the thing about the Word of God, or this Bible, is to for us to understand and to profess that it is the Word of God. It's important to make our confession about that. Amen? Because the Word of God tells us that if we say it and believe that what we say will come to pass, we'll have what we say. I like to make this profession about the Bible because very often people need to be corrected in regards to how they think about the Bible. Amen. The Bible is the Word of God. It's nothing other than that. It is the Word of God. So I want you to join me in this profession. I want you to be bold about it now. Don't be wimpy, because God has not given us a spirit of wimpiness, but one of power and of love and of a sound mind. The Word of God tells us to be bold about these things, not wimpy about them. Amen. And I like to let the devil know what I believe. I like to poke him, because he pokes me enough. So I like to poke him back and let him know. Amen. So take your Bible, hold it up, and say, "This is my Bible. It's God's word to me. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, God Himself will speak to me through this word by His Spirit. I'll believe it. I'll receive it. I'll understand it. I'll do it. And my life will never be the same. In the name of Jesus." Now give Him some glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. I'm excited about the Word of God. Didn't used to be. Even as a Christian, I dreaded reading the Bible, because it was just a tedious act of religious obligation and duty. And so I dreaded it. I didn't like to read the Bible. As a Christian now. The reasons were mainly is because I had been talked out of the validity and the truth of the Bible by Christians. Do you understand what I just said? It was Christians. I had to go to church to be taught not to believe the Bible. That is a sad, sad state. But it's truth. As a young man, when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, I read the Bible. And when the Lord revealed to me by His Spirit that it was true, that He really is the God of the Bible, and that everything He said was true, well, I just acted on it. I just believed it. I didn't doubt it at all. As a matter of fact, when folks started saying things other than what the Bible said, I was amazed. I couldn't understand how Christians could say things like that when the Bible clearly said something else. But see, then they told me that, well, you know, you're young. You don't understand. You need to be taught. You need to understand what is true and what is not. God doesn't always mean that. God doesn't always do that. Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says wait a while. You just never really know. Besides, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, those things which God has prepared for us. You'll never know the mystery of God. His ways are a secret to us. And on and on and on and on. And by the time they were done, I hated reading the Bible. It's the truth. Because I didn't know what to believe. And it took me decades. You know what a decade is? It's 10 years. And I put an S at the end of that. So I said decades. It took me decades to come to a place where I again believed what God said. Because I had been taught not to by the church. Yeah? Yeah. But you know, God knows what you have need of. And He wants to reveal Himself to us in ways that are a demonstration of the Spirit with power. He wants to see that word manifested in your life and in my life in ways that will cause us to be amazed and astonished and to be a witness and a testimony to this dying world of His truth, of His power, of His love, of His grace, of His mercy, of His forgiveness, of the remission of sins through Jesus Christ. That's the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we need to believe what the Word of God says. And I understand, and we've talked about this, that unfortunately in the world today, specifically in the church today, in the body of Christ, there are more often than not things that are believed that God never said. Mm-hmm. People believe, on the other hand, that God said things, they just don't believe what God said. That doesn't help. That won't get us anywhere. Do you know that if you ask me for directions on how to get somewhere, and I know how to get there because I've been there and back, and I give you the directions, you may very well believe that I told you that. But that doesn't mean you're going to follow the directions. You may choose to doubt that and go another way. For example, you may decide to head east instead of west to go from here to Cleveland. You will find yourself in the Atlantic Ocean and nowhere near Cleveland. You can get to Cleveland if you continue to circumnavigate the world and come back, always following east. But why travel 25,000 miles when you only have to go a couple hours? Amen? You don't have to take the long way around like Israel did, 40 years, one more time around the mountain, boys. Because we're not following directions. Let's follow the directions. Let's follow the instructions. Let's go by what God said instead of what we think He should do the way we think He should do it.
Uh-huh.
Amen? That'll just get you in trouble.
Sure.
Got me in trouble. Get you in trouble too. Got Israel in trouble. It'll get you in trouble too. Got a whole lot of folks in trouble, and it'll get you in trouble too.
Amen.
If you don't follow the directions, you won't get the recipe the way you want it to be done. Amen? God is good all the time. And we've been talking about the fact that even as Christians, even those that have been redeemed from the curse, in this world, we still experience tests and trials and troubles and tribulations and afflictions. We do. But God has promised us some things. He's told us in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, that in all these things we're more than conquerors. He's told us in 2 Corinthians 2:14 that God always causes us to triumph in Christ. He told us in 1 John 5:4 that whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And those are great promises. Praise God, I am more than a conqueror. I always triumph and I always have the victory.
Yes.
But you know, if you look at the lives of most Christians, they do not always triumph. Most of the time, they're defeated and overcome by the thing that comes against them. If it's sickness, the sickness will overcome them. If it's poverty, the poverty will overcome them. It's affliction, the affliction will overcome them. More often than not, they're ending up on the floor being overrun and overtaken and stomped on by the world and the devil, instead of walking in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God manifested in their life. Amen. There's a reason for that. We've talked about it for several weeks now. God's people are destroyed because they don't know what they need to know. If we don't understand this subject of tests and trials and troubles and tribulations and afflictions, if we don't understand clearly, if we don't know what we need to know about this, God says that this is the reason why His folks suffer, are taken into captivity, and ultimately are destroyed. God's people. Now, I didn't say that. God did in Hosea 4:6. And I think God knows what He's talking about. What about you? I think God knows what He's talking about. If God says, listen, the surest way for you to end up suffering, being overcome, being defeated, and ultimately being destroyed is for you not to know what you need to know, then you can bet God knows what He's talking about. That means we need to know what we need to know. We need to learn. Amen? And we don't need to learn some myth. We don't need to learn some tradition, some idea, some speculation, some philosophy. We need to learn what God said. What God said about it. Most folks are not willing to understand, to accept, to believe, and to act upon what God said regarding this. Matter of fact, most folks won't even deal with this subject. People get afraid when you start talking about it. People skip over the scriptures that talk about it because they don't want to read it, because they don't want to hear it. Jesus told us, in this world, you will, not you might, but you will have trouble in this world. But then, see, folks will just read by that and go, oh, that's not me. I'm redeemed. Well, you are redeemed. But Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. Well, but praise God, I'm redeemed. If I'm redeemed, why should I have to go through trouble? Because you're in this world. And Jesus said, as long as you're in this world, you're going to have trouble. But I don't want to have trouble. Too bad. There is an escape that is not putting a gun to your head and leaving the world. Although that is the only way that you're going to get outside of the fact to where troubles will come against you. Not by putting your gun to your head, obviously, but by leaving the world. Because as long as we're in this world, you will have trouble. Jesus said so. The Word of God says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. How many of you have been made righteous? Then you can expect many things to come against you. He said, all those that would live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So now here we have the promises of God telling us the promises of God. God promising us, hey, are you born again? Are you a Christian? Are you walking a godly lifestyle? Are you living and walking in the righteousness of God? Praise God, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to have trouble. There's going to be tests and trials and afflictions that are going to come upon you, and rejoice. That's what the Word says. And what do most Christians do when they call the pastor or they talk to their friends or they go to church or they go to God about this whole thing? They start whining and crying. Why is this happening? Oh, Lord, I don't understand this. I've been such a good Christian. You know I'm your child. I know you love me. What's the deal? What's going on? How come I'm just been poked out and picked on and beat up and everything else? I don't get it. And they're surprised and they're shocked and they're amazed and they're confused about the whole thing. And the Word of God said, don't be confused and shocked and bewildered about these things when they come. There's a reason why they come. I don't want them to come. Well, who does? But too bad. They're going to come. And not wanting them to come is not the way to overcome them. Because, see, that's just denial and a refusal to deal with it. More often than not, the folks, the way they deal with God on this, Lord, take this away from me. That's not it. God said, you overcome it. I've given you the weapon. I've given you the power. I've given you the Holy Ghost. And I've given you the instructions on how to do it. You overcome it. Fight the good fight of faith. Overcome it. But most Christians are praying, oh Lord, take this from me. He told you to kick it off. He told you to beat him up. He told us to resist the devil. And he would flee from us. But what do most people do? Oh Lord, take the devil off me. Get the devil off my back. Yeah. Listen, if I tell you that you need to do this in order to get something done, you better do it to get it done. Because I'm not doing it for you. Amen. Do you understand that there's no reason why God should have to do that anyway, seeing as how he's already defeated the devil? He's already done it. And then he gave us the power to walk in that victory. Amen. I said he gave us the power to walk in that victory. But most folks, that's not how they think. As far as they're concerned, and again, I hear the report. I cannot tell you how many letters I get, how many phone calls I get, how many conversations I have, how many emails I get from folks who will tell me about how the devil's been beating them up for all week long. Oh, it's just been so rough. It's been so tough. It's been so difficult. Oh, my God, the devil has just been running all over me, my family, my business, my body, and everything else. That's how they talk. You'll never get the victory that way. That is glorifying the problem, glorifying the devil, magnifying everything except for God. Amen. Folks don't want to hear that. But I'm telling you what the scriptures say. And do you understand that if we want the victory, then we're going to have to walk in the victory. And that victory is by faith. Those tests, those trials, those troubles, those tribulations, they're going to come against us no matter whether we like it or not. They're still going to come. Amen? And we found out the smart thing to do is to do everything we can in our power to avoid them whenever possible. Why open the door to the devil and invite him in? Just because he's knocking at the door doesn't mean you have to say, "Oh, well, I've been expecting you. Come on in. Go ahead. My life is a living hell anyway. What's just a few more boils and bruises? Go ahead." But that's what folks do. I knew that was going to happen. Isn't that right? I knew that was going to happen. The Word of God says the fear of the wicked will come upon him. I knew that was going to happen. I knew I was going to get laid off. I knew it. I knew she was going to do that. I knew it. I knew my husband was going to act that way. I knew it. I could see it coming. Trouble? Come on in. Come on in. We had 16 tons. What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. That's how people think. That's what they think. And that's how they live. And then they wonder why. Don't open the door to the enemy. The Word of God says give no place to the enemy. Amen. Give no place to the enemy. Don't give him an opportunity. Don't give him a door that he can squeak through, because if he gets in your house, he'll tear it apart. It doesn't matter if you just open the door a crack. If he can get in, he'll get in and wreck everything. So don't give any place to the enemy. Well, you know, the Word of God tells us over and over how we can give place to the enemy. But folks don't believe it. And then they blame the devil when they're the one that did it to begin with. What do you mean? Well, let's say, for example, unforgiveness. And the Word of God tells us that when we are not walking in forgiveness, it says that it gives Satan the advantage over us. Did you know that? In Corinthians? It says that we need to walk in forgiveness lest Satan gain the advantage over us. But folks are holding on to things. Well, I'll forgive it, but I won't forget it. You didn't forgive it. That's why you won't forget it. You just think you did. I remember what so-and-so. I'm never going to give them an opportunity again. No, you haven't forgiven them. Because, you know, the next time they do something that bugs you, you'll not just think on that, but everything they did beforehand. And then when you have that discussion with your wife and your husband, you'll come up with things like, "Well, you always." Or, "Do you remember when you did that?" See, you haven't forgotten it. You haven't forgiven it. The Word of God says Satan gets advantage over us that way. Amen. We forgive, and when we forgive, we forget. As far as that's concerned, it never happened. Did you know that the Word of God says that as far as all your sins are concerned, He's totally forgotten them? Cast them into outer darkness, doesn't remember them anymore. It's as if you never did. That's what called being justified is. It's just as if I had never done it, as far as He's concerned. We're all justified by faith in Christ. Amen. You know, the folks around you, don't forget to forgive them. Amen. Don't open the door to the enemy. Fear opens the door to the enemy. Amen. Proverbs tells us that the fear of the wicked will come upon him. One form of wickedness is unbelief, not believing what God has said. Doubt and unbelief is one form of wickedness. The fear of the wicked will come upon him. When you're afraid, that's the opposite of faith. And the Word of God says that without faith, it's impossible to please God, and anything that's not of faith is sin. That's what the Word of God says. Fear will bring the enemy upon you. You know, folks blame the devil for wrecking Job's life when it was actually Job. He's the one that opened the door to the enemy. As a matter of fact, in Job chapter 3, even though everybody blames the devil, Job, it says this, Job opened his mouth and said, "The thing that I greatly feared and that which I was greatly afraid of has come upon me." Mm-hmm. Who opened the door to the enemy? Job did. But folks have all kinds of ideas about this kind of stuff. As I said, they believe a whole lot of things that Scripture doesn't teach. And so they walk in this nonsense. Amen. Praise God. Strife and anger will do it. You get into strife, and strife will tear up your house. It will tear up your body. It will tear up your finances. It will tear up your marriage. It will tear up your relationship with your children. It will tear up your business. It will tear up everything. How do I know? Because the Word of God says where there is strife, there is confusion and every evil work. Every evil work. Amen. Amen. But folks have no trouble getting into strife. Man, they'll stay mad at somebody for weeks at a time. Hey, they will. Amen. They just won't let it go. We'll be in strife. Be in strife with their boss, their co-worker. Some of them will get in strife with their pastor. Next thing you know, we don't see them again. Amen. Amen. It's the truth. Now, we don't want to give place to the devil. Glory to God. Amen. Foolishness and presumption will open the door to the enemy. Did you know that? Foolishness will. The word of God says the wise man foresees a problem and avoids it. But the fool, the one who acts foolishly, he'll just go on his way and suffer the consequences. He'll just keep doing what he's doing the way he's doing it. And then he'll pay for it. Foolishness, presumption. Amen. You know, you can strap yourself a pair of wooden wings and get up on the top of my roof. And you can presume that God will keep you from breaking your neck when you jump off. That's foolishness and presumption. Don't strap a pair of wooden wings on, go up on the top of your roof and jump off. You're probably going to get hurt. Don't go holding your hands over the fire and ask God not to burn you. It's one thing for somebody to throw you into the fire when you, because of your faithfulness to God and serving God. You know, you can then claim the promise that the fire won't kindle upon you, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. But don't go saying, hey, look, and I want to get in that furnace with y'all. Good possibility, you know, you might end up with no hair on your head. Amen. And worse. See, we need to be wise about these things. We need to get with the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. And then when it comes to these tests and these trials and these troubles and tribulations and afflictions, in order for us to overcome these things, we need to know, first of all, why does God allow them? Because, you know, folks ask that question. Why does God allow this? Isn't that right? See, because a lot of folks are in denial about this thing. And the Word of God says that no man is tempted by God. But see, there's a difference between a test and a temptation. Amen. Amen. How many of you ever read Luke chapter 4? Everybody raise your hand. Because if you've read the Bible, you've read Luke chapter 4. How many of you know what it says in the very first verse? It says, and Jesus being filled with the Holy Ghost. It said after that, it said he was led by the Holy Ghost into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. How many of you know that it was God that led Jesus into the wilderness? How many of you are just so excited about the fact that you might be led into the wilderness to be tested? Doesn't that just make you excited? Praise God, I'm heading into the wilderness. There's no food, there's no water, there's no nothing. I'm getting in there to be tested. Why wouldn't you be excited about that? See, the reason why folks aren't excited about that is because they don't understand this whole process. If we can understand the process, we'll understand the reason. And if we can understand the reason, then we know how to deal with the thing and come out on the other side promoted. But you know, most folks would rather forego the process and the promotion, but then try to believe God for all the things that come with the promotion. That's not going to help. They ask God to strengthen them, to mature them. More often than not, the prayer is this: Lord, give me more faith. But I know what they mean. Lord, I want to be able to deal with some things better. I want to be able to do more. I want to be able to walk in this stuff to a greater degree. That's basically what they're saying when they say, Lord, give me more faith. So they're actually asking God to test them. They're saying, Lord, give me more. And they don't understand. They're saying, test me. So they're getting what they asked for. They're just not happy with it. Amen. Turn over to Psalms, the book of Psalms. Psalm 26. See, we want God to perfect us, don't we? Do we not want to be able to be brought to the place by the Lord where we can walk in the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God? Let me say that again in case you were distracted. Don't we want to be brought to the place by the Lord where we can walk in the demonstration and power of the Spirit just like Jesus did? Yes. I mean, every Christian alive who has ever read the New Testament where Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. And every Christian alive says, Lord, I want to do those works too. But they forget that Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tested. And they say, Lord, I want to do those works too. Bring me to the place where I can do those works too. I want to be brought to that place. And they're basically saying, okay, do to me what you did to Jesus. Do whatever it takes to bring me to that place, right? They don't know they're saying it. But look at how it says it over here in Psalm 26, verse 2. It says this, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Now, you know, you read that in the King James, and it's a little bit unclear. But let me read it to you out of the Message Bible. Examine me, O God, from head to foot, from top to bottom. Order your battery of tests and make sure I'm fit inside and out. In other words, test me, prove me, put me through whatever I've got to go through, bring me to the place, mature me and perfect me so I can walk the walk that Jesus said I can walk. I want to be your witness. I want to do the works that Jesus did and greater. And if I have to be proven and tested to do it, do it. And so then God does it. And then folks say, Lord, remove this from me. How many of you remember the first time in Luke chapter 4 where Jesus came in and he's just come out in the power of the Holy Ghost, praise God. He walks into the synagogue. He picks up the book of Isaiah and he reads from the place where it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to bring recovery of sight to the blind, and deliverance of the captives, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he sat down and everybody looked at him. And then he said, this day is this prophecy fulfilled. And it says, and they all sought to throw him over the cliff. They were so excited about that. Let's throw him over the cliff. How many of you know that Jesus, here is the opportunity for him now to use that which God has given him, to stand in the place that God has brought him to. And here's a test. What are you going to do? Because they're getting ready to throw you over a cliff. You know what most folks would do? They'd run the other direction. Maybe you misunderstood me. I didn't really mean that. Hold on. Let's just back up. See, and they'd try to talk their way out of it. Lord, save me! It says that Jesus just made his way through the crowd. They were trying to throw him over a cliff, but they got all messed up. They didn't even realize what was going on. He just walked on through them and left. Do you understand? We're all being tested. We're all being proved. How many of you know that in Ephesians it says this? When he ascended on high, that being Jesus, he gave gifts to men. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. You know that the gifts that he's given to the church are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then it tells us what for. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Did you know? One of the primary reasons of your pastor and the fivefold ministry is to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. Because every person has been called to ministry. Ministry means to serve. May not be the fivefold ministry, but there's helps, governments, administrations. There's the ministry of giving. There's all kinds of ministries. Amen. But the Word of God says, before we can step into the level of ministry that we desire, didn't it tell us that let them be first proven? Tested. For example, folks want to step into that ministry of giving big. So God tests them or allows them to be tested to see what they'll do with what little they have, to see whether they'll be faithful to it. Will you give the little? What happens when the offering bucket goes by? What do you do with it? You know that every time the offering basket goes by, every time that happens, it's a test. I'm still being tested today. 40 years later. Amen. To see whether I'll put something in it. That's a test every time. Some folks pass, some folks don't. You'll never get to the place that you want to be if you let it go by and don't put anything in it. Because every day is a test. The same goes for those folks who receive the free CDs that we send out or listen to these messages online or by satellite. They go through a test every time they hear one of these messages. Every one of those individuals is going through a test, though they don't know it. More often than not, those individuals are trying to believe God for something that they're trying to receive from this ministry. For example, they might be hearing words regarding how to obtain and walk in the manifested healing of God. Very often, it's finances, it's financial provision, it is increase. And so they listen to messages on sowing. They listen to messages on reaping. They listen to messages on the principles of how to obtain the supernatural provision of God. And while they don't realize it, they are actually being tested at that time and proven to see whether they'll be faithful to the commandment of God regarding what to do when you receive instruction from the Word of God. Even though we have taught it so often in all of those messages, the Word of God tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 6, it says, "Let him who receives instruction in the Word of God share all good things with his teacher, contributing to his support." So those individuals are supposed to be contributing, sowing something into this ministry. But what happens? They fail the test. They try to receive, and yet they're not following the instructions. The Word of God says specifically that we are supposed to contribute to the support. We're supposed to give. We're supposed to sow into those ministries where we are receiving instruction. That's a test. And even though the Word of God says, don't be deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. But people are deceived. It's amazing that people don't understand that they're being tested. God is giving them the opportunity to show themselves faithful in that which they claim to believe. Their faith is being tested to see whether it's proved genuine. And more often than not, they're failing because they're not acting on the Word. We are all going to be proven. Every one of us are going to be tested. We're going to be proven in every area where we are trying to apply the Word. How many of you have ever prayed that prayer? Examine me, O Lord. How many of you have ever prayed that prayer? How many of you really want God to examine you? How many of you really want God to order up that battery of tests to make sure you're fit inside and out? How many of you really want that? You know, that's a serious thing. But you know what? God will do it if you ask Him to. Let's take a second and ask the Lord. Now, don't say this if you're not serious about it. But if you want to do the works that Jesus did and greater, you better make sure that you're willing to do this. Because you'll never step in that place. There's good news, by the way. There's good news for this. Go ahead and say this, Lord.
Lord,
in the name of Jesus,
examine me
from head to foot.
Order your battery of
tests and make sure I'm fit
inside and out.
Amen. He will. He will. Praise God. How many of you remember Israel? Amen. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read it to you in Deuteronomy 8. You know, the Lord led Israel through the wilderness, and speaking of this, he said this, speaking of God, it says, "He fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers knew not, that he might humble you, and so that he might prove you. He might test you to do you good in your latter end." You understand that when God allows us to go through things, it's for our good. It's not to beat us up. It's for our good. He wants to strengthen us. He wants to mature us. He wants to perfect us. He wants to bring us to that place where we can walk in the power and demonstration of the manifest power of God. It's for our good. It's not for our bad. How many of you ever had a shot? How many of you are just excited about every chance you get, you go somewhere where they can stick a needle in your arm? No, you don't. But you know, whenever you've had a shot, it's always been for your good. You might have hurt a little bit, but it was for your good. Anybody ever been to the dentist where they put Novocaine in your mouth? Man, I hate that Novocaine needle. I can't even look at it. It always looks as big as my arm. You know, and it seems that way too. Amen. But you know, anybody who's ever had pain in their mouth, maybe you're going to have some drilling work done or a root canal. Imagine having a root canal without them sticking that needle in there and numbing that thing. You know that that needle, as much as it hurts, it was for your good, to keep you from being hurt more. Amen. Amen? That's how and why the Lord allows us to be tested. To bring us to the place where, okay, you might endure some things. You might have to go through. But better that you do that now than to be killed or destroyed. I'm bringing you to a place where you can withstand it. You know, for example, how many of you are familiar the way these professional boxers train? People who fight for a living, boxers. If you ever saw what they went through to harden themselves, because, you know, these guys, they're able to take blows to the body that are so powerful, the impact of these blows that are coming are so powerful that the average human being, were they to be hit with that punch, it would burst their kidney or burst their liver or some other organ. I mean, it could kill you. Because your body has not been hardened. So what they do is they harden the muscles in their body through repeated pounding and medicine balls and wet towels slapped on them. And I mean, everything they can. I mean, they're just constantly taking this this pain and this impact, but it's designed so that when they get into that ring, they're not killed. It hardens them. You know, I was a runner for years. Very often I'd be running 10, sometimes 15 miles a day. Spring, summer, fall or winter, cold or heat, rain or shine, it didn't matter. And most of the time I was running in just nothing but a pair of shorts, even in the wintertime, because my skin got so hard because of that. You just get used to it. When you do that day in and day out, in the sun, in the cold, in the rain, in the snow. I remember one time me and my buddy, we were running out and it was snowing. Man, it was cold. It was blowing out there. I'm just in a pair of shirts and, you know, a pair of shorts and a tank top. And cars were pulling over thinking that we were in trouble. But we were out running 10 miles that day. Amen. It didn't bother us at all. And anybody who's ever run, you know, knows that you get running a little bit and you'll warm up pretty quick. Amen. But you know what happened is that when I ended up going into the doctor, to the hospital, they tried to put needles in my arm and they had a real hard time because my skin had gotten so tough. They couldn't get the needles through it. Well, see, this is the kind of thing that God allows. He wants us strong. He wants us matured. He wants us perfected. He wants us to be able to stand up against that stinking lying devil and all the powers of hell and resist him in the power of God. Not run away. Be all scared because, you know, somebody put on a nasty face. No. God wants us to be able to resist these things. And he does it for our good. To do us good in the latter end. Amen? I like the way it says it in the Message Bible. It says that God did this to test them so that they would be prepared, so that they could live well in the days ahead of them. Glory to God. I want to live well in the days ahead of me. How about y'all? Amen. Praise God. See, we need to find out this stuff and understand what God says about these things. Now, John chapter 15. And let me read something to you. How many of you believe that it's the Lord's will that you bear fruit? Amen. How many of you know what happens if you don't bear fruit? Get cut off. Let me read something to you that you probably never noticed before. How many of you want to bear fruit? How many of you want to bear more fruit? Boy, are you in trouble. If you want to bear a lot of fruit, you can expect trouble. But see, folks pray that prayer. Lord, I want to be a fruitful Christian. Lord, I want to bear more fruit. But they don't read what the Word says about it. See, we need to understand why God allows these things so that we can deal with it properly and successfully. If we don't allow it, we won't do it. You know, there are folks, they would go through the whole school year. They were taught the lesson. But then exam time came, and they weren't nowhere to be found. They thought they could skip the exam, the test, because after all, they just spent the last 9 months learning the lesson. All they knew what they supposedly had to learn, and so they just think they're just going to get promoted into the next grade, to the next level. And so they just skip the exam. And you know what happened? Repeat. Here we go. Hold them back. And let's do it again. But Lord, I already learned this. You didn't take the test. You didn't pass the test. You might know it, but you got to take the test. You can spend the whole year, but if you don't take the test, you're not passing. You're not going up. You're not going on. You got to take the test, and you got to pass the test. But you know, it doesn't matter what you know. If you don't apply what you know when the test comes, you won't pass the test. And that's what happens with so many Christians. They don't want to take the test, and when the test is there, they don't apply what they've been taught. You can take the lessons all you want, but if you don't apply them, it doesn't do any good. That's why the Word of God says, "Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." But we want to pass the test. We want to have a lot of fruit, don't we? We want rewards, right? Amen. We want to be pleasing to our Heavenly Father. And we want to walk and do the same works that Jesus did and greater works, right? I don't know about you, but I read that and I got excited the first time I read that. Oh man, I can do what He did. How about you? Do you remember the first time you read that or somebody read that to you? Remember how you felt? Do you mean that I could do what Jesus did? I can raise the dead. I can cleanse the leper. I can heal the sick. I can do these things? Yeah. And greater. Really? Yeah. Oh, I got excited about that.
Hello, friends. This is Reverend Slide Moran, and I hope that you've enjoyed the message so far. We'll return to it in just a moment, but before we do, Did you know that it's because of the generous offerings from folks just like you that enables us to provide these messages to you and to others all throughout the world for free? Friend, I know that you love God and that you're seeking, just as we are, to spread the gospel. So won't you consider helping us as we continue to fulfill the Lord's command to preach the gospel to all the earth? No offering is too small, and every dollar helps us to reach more and more people. So whether you wish to become a regular partner or just a one-time love offering, I want you to know that every single dollar helps. No amount is too small. You can send your offering online by visiting our partner page. Just go to www.biblecities.com and click the donate button. You can even send your love offering by mail to Bible Cities Christian Fellowship, P.O. Box 40, Gettysville, New York, 14068 in the USA. Our mailing address can also be found in the BibleCities.com partner section. Just click the link that says Donate by Check or Money Order. Thank you for your love and your generosity, and may God richly reward you for your faithful obedience. Now, let's get back to the message.
Do you mean that I could do what Jesus did? I can raise the dead, I can cleanse the leper, I can heal the sick? I can do these things? Yeah. And greater. Really? Yeah. Oh, I got excited about that. Lord, I want to do those things. Yep, here comes the test. Let's read what the Word of God says. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine. This is Jesus speaking. And my Father is the husbandman. The husbandman, if you don't know, he's the gardener. He's the farmer. He's the one that takes care of the vines. Okay? I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, now he takes away. Well, how many of you want to be taken away? Nobody. So we all want to bear fruit, right? We all want to bear fruit, right? All of us are looking to bear fruit, right? Okay, let's get to us then. And every branch that bears fruit, oh, here's the word I like, he purges. Oh, we like that. He purges it. So that it can bring forth more fruit. The Greek word means to purify. Anybody ever think about what the meaning of purify might be? Maybe when you purify water or something like that. It means to remove every undesirable material or trait or characteristic. To remove it. All the contamination. Did we just read in the Word of God where it says that every branch that bears fruit, God will purge, He'll purify it? Amen. He will do it step by step, here a little and there a little, taking away every undesirable and every unwanted material, trait, or characteristic that exists on that branch. He'll purge it. How many of you are just so excited about being purged? How many of you just said, Lord, purge me? Most folks, they say, Lord, stop the purging now. But Jesus said, if you're bearing fruit and if you want to be more fruitful, there's some purging that's going to be done. And you may not like it. You may not like it. But there's still some purging going to be done. And you may not like it. And you know that you're going to be purged whether you like it or not. See, and you can deal with it and come out on the other side, or you can whine and cry and complain and gripe and moan and mumble and doubt and unbelief and everything else, and all that means is you'll just have to go through it all over again. Get it right the first time. Matter of fact, there's one place where Jesus is talking about the unfaithful servant, says that he that knoweth to do his master's will and doeth it not will suffer many stripes. See, we read by those things because, well, that's not me. But then the stripes come and we say, Lord, why is the devil beating me? Come on. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges so that it can bring forth more fruit. And then he says something really amazing. He says, now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Praise God. How are we cleansed? Through the word of God. The Lord gives us the word which we are commanded to believe, to receive, and to obey. In other words, to operate in faith on, right? Yes. Praise God. We just take the word And when we do the Word, and that Word cleanses us, it purifies us, it purges us of all the undesirable materials and traits and characteristics. Glory to God. And then, at that point, we're free. Praise God. There's no persecution. That's not true. Wish it were. I wish I could tell you it is. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that Satan comes immediately when the Word comes. And it says that he comes to steal the Word. Amen. And then over in Matthew 13, if you turn back over there, let's see what happens when you're trying to operate in faith. In other words, the Lord has now given you the answer, praise God. I can walk in health. I can walk in abundance. I can walk in deliverance. I can walk in safety. I can walk in soundness. Glory to God, I can do that. And we get that Word, and hallelujah. And we're just blessed by it. Amen. Matthew 13. And so the Word is sown into us. Verse 20 says, and then he that received the seed, the Word, that was sown into stony ground is the same that he that hears the Word, and he receives it with joy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I receive the Word. Yes, I can walk in health and healing of God. Glory to God. I can walk in the supernatural abundance and provision and prosperity of God. Hallelujah. I can be delivered from this thing and walk in the deliverance and freedom and liberty of God. Glory to God. I receive it immediately with joy. Amen. Praise God. And then it says, yet the one that has no root in himself, he'll just last a little while, because when tribulation or persecution comes on account of that Word. So we're asking the Lord, Lord, give me the Word. Teach me the truth. You know what you're saying? Bring it on. Because with the Word, the Bible says persecution and tests and trials will come because of that Word, to test you to see whether or not you're going to stand on it. I don't want to do that. Then you'll never be matured or perfected. You'll never get to that place of strength and power where you can walk in it. But I don't like that. Too bad. You're not the one that sets the rules. You're not the one that created the universe. You're not the one that created God. It's the other way around. So God put the spiritual laws in motion, and God sets the standards, not us. And He decides how things are going to be done. And this is not bad news. This is good news, because we all want to be examined and made fit. Amen. Right? We all want to come to that place where we can walk in the strength and power and demonstration of the Spirit. This is good news. This is why God allows it. See, if we can get over, you know, our pity party. Did you hear me? Get over the pity party. Get over it. Understand what's happening and why it's happening. And if you can get to that place, then you'll start dealing with it the way we should. We have to deal with it. Do you understand? This isn't confusing you, is it? Praise God. And we found out the Word of God tells us that we're going to be proven. We're going to be tested. You want promotion. How many of you want promotion? How many of you wanted to be promoted? The Word of God says we're going to be proven. We're going to be tested first. We may not like it, but we're still going to be. We may not like it, but we're still going to be. Get over it. Just get over it. I'm telling you, the reason why I'm telling you this is because this understanding, this revelation of this, I was able to overcome some physical things that came against me because I knew this. Where I wasn't able to overcome it because I didn't know it. It took the Holy Ghost to say, dummy, you're being tested. What are you going to do? You're going to fail the test? You're going to back up and go through the thing again? Or are you going to get to the other side of the darn thing and come out ahead? What do you want? How many of you just love the financial place you're in right now? I don't see anybody raising their hands. How come? Don't you know that God's made you rich?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. This is good news. Turn forward to 1 Peter. See, we need to get our eyes on the Word of God and walk in accordance with the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 5, if you're wondering. Hallelujah. And right now, what we're really doing is we're examining the subject of tests and trials and troubles and tribulations and afflictions. We're examining it in detail so that you can have a clear understanding of what it's all about. Because in order for me, even if I was just to tell you how to overcome them through the steps that and the instructions that the Word of God give us, without you having a clear understanding of this subject, you wouldn't apply it properly. Amen. You'd still run from it. We are not supposed to be running from the devil. Did you hear me? We're not supposed to be running from the devil. Every time the devil shows his face, which is a lot, we're not supposed to be running. We're supposed to be resisting. Amen. Every time something comes against us, we're not supposed to be begging and crying and whining and moaning and griping and mumbling and complaining. We're supposed to be overcoming and fighting that thing. You get into a ring with a professional boxer, somebody who knows, I know just what to do when you throw a punch at me. I'm going to knock your behind out. He's not just going to stand there and go, referee, he's hitting me. I don't understand. I don't understand why I'm being punched. Well, you're in the ring and you're in a fight. And when you're in the ring and you're in a fight, you know, there's some punches going to be thrown. Well, that's how Christians get, though, with God. You know, things start coming against them. Boom. Oh, God, I don't understand why. That's ridiculous. We're in a fight. The good news is we won.
Yeah.
But we still have to fight.
Yeah.
But the victory is ours. See, we know the outcome.
Yeah.
We win.
Amen.
But you still got to fight.
Amen.
Amen. You look and see, whenever Israel went out against the armies that were coming against them, do you know that God fought the battle, but they still had to go out? Don't just sit behind your wall. Get out there. And don't be afraid. This is good news. Praise God. Where did I tell you to go? 1 Peter. Well, let me turn over there then. Praise God. Did I tell you 1 Peter 5? I meant 1 Peter 1. There's a couple passages here in 1 Peter. If you would spend some time reading them, it would really free you up. First one would be, of course, we talked about it before in 1 Peter chapter 4, where it says, Beloved, don't think it's strange, or don't be surprised at this fiery trial that's come upon you, as if it was something strange. Stop getting all freaked out when it comes. Knock that stuff off. Stop thinking that way. What are you worried about? What do you get it right? Amen? Then we're in 1 Peter 1, and he says this, praise God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. Praise God, who are kept by the power of God through faith. How are we kept by the power of God?
Through faith.
How are we kept by the power of God? Through faith. Not doubt and unbelief. Not confusion and bewilderment and amazement, but through faith. Kept by the power of God, how?
Through
faith. You know, understand that if you want to be kept by the power of God, you better get into faith and you better stay in faith.
Amen.
And freaking out every time something comes against you, or every little pain twinges in your body, or every time you get a notice of something that says you're going under financially, freaking out over that whole thing, that's not being kept by the power of God through faith.
Amen.
That is walking outside of the power of God through fear and unbelief.
Amen.
Get back into the power of God through faith. Glory to God. Unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So, this is why you greatly rejoice. Everybody look up here. Smile big. This is why you greatly rejoice. Now, you notice it doesn't say this is why you're so happy? Because you understand that happiness and joy are two different things. God doesn't say be happy. He says rejoice. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is a result of our faith and belief in the promises of God, manifested through faith by the power of the Spirit of God. Happiness is something that we experience when the circumstances and the situation around us affect our emotions. Joy is not an emotional thing. It is a spiritual thing. It is a fruit of the Spirit. And he says, rejoice. Rejoice. Amen. Well, this is good. Praise God. This is good. Rejoice, even though now for a season, if necessary. Why aren't you happy about that? Because the first question is going to come, why is it necessary? I don't think it's necessary. I think I know what I need to know. We'll find out when the test comes, whether you know what you need to know, just like they do in school. Well, I learned that. Okay, spot quiz, and everybody freaks out. Remember those in school? Hated them things. Well, I'm going to have a spot quiz, unannounced quiz. Did you do your homework? Yeah, we did our homework. Good, let's take a test and find out. No, I don't want to take the test. Well, if you did your homework, you got nothing to be afraid of. Wherein you greatly rejoice, even though now for a season, if need be, you might be in heaviness through the manifold or many tests and trials. You might be. So that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. Oh, there's that purging. Let me read that in the Amplified so that we can get that a little bit clearer. Let's find out why God has allowed this test, this trial, this trouble, or this affliction to come on us. Let's find out why. Because you understand that God told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, that God is faithful and He will never allow us to be tested or tried beyond our ability to handle it, which means God allows it. Why? Let's find out. I'll read it in the Amplified. You should be exceedingly glad on this account. And this is where every Christian, of course, they're right on in that place, right? Praise God, here's another test, trial, trouble, tribulation, and affliction. Hallelujah, let's rejoice. No, that's not where folks are. Because God said, rejoice. You should be rejoicing. But they're not. But God said you should be. You should be because there's a reason. Why? You should be exceedingly glad on this account, though now for a little while you might be distressed by the trials and suffer some afflictions. You might be. You might be sad for a little while, but you should be exceedingly glad about this. Why? Because it says, so that the genuineness of your faith may be tested. God is allowing your faith to be purified, to be tested. To where all of the undesirable and unwanted contamination, traits, and characteristics that might be affecting your faith can be removed. That's why He's allowing it. He's purifying. He's allowing your faith to be purified. Don't you want your faith to be pure? Don't you want your faith to be proven genuine? Proven. Do you understand what happens when you're able to operate in the level of faith to obtain the victory over something that you never have before? Do you understand what comes with that? Promotion. You know that if you pass first grade and get into second grade, did you know that no matter what they throw at you from first grade, it's a cinch? Because you've already passed it. Now imagine you be in fifth grade and somebody comes up and says, okay, listen, we got a spot quiz, and they start asking you, okay, now listen, you're in fifth grade. Now you're into some higher mathematics, you understand. And here you are now. But they come up to you and the teacher says, we got a spot quiz for you. And by the way, this quiz is going to determine whether you pass or fail this grade. And they say to you, okay, and they pull out a first grade test. What is 2 plus 1? What is 3 minus 2? And you kind of look at that thing and go, what's the big deal? You know, we know that. I've known that for years. It's not even a test anymore. Why? Because you've already passed it. You've already been there. You know how to deal with that stuff. That's how it is. That's how God brings us, as it says, He increases you more and more, step by step. He wants to bring our faith up to that place, to where we can walk in the power and authority that Jesus did. Do you understand? You're not born again into that place. We have to grow into that place. Yes. Do you understand that? Amen. It's there. The power is there, but we haven't learned to walk in it yet. Amen. Yes. You know, babies, when they're born, they're not born 6 feet tall, able to press 150 or 200 pounds. That's not how babies are born. They have to learn how to walk. They have to grow. They have to. You understand that? And do you understand that, for example, a bodybuilder? You see these folks, men and women, and they got these muscles that are hardened and they're toned. And man, they can lift some things that are, you know, I mean, they can do some work. Amen? Is that right? Do you know what the training is called that they go through in order to build those muscles to that place to where they look like that? You know what it's called? It's called resistance training. Did you hear me? can call it weight training if you want, but another term is resistance training. Why? Because in order for your muscles to be strengthened and hardened, you know how what happens? There's resistance that put against them, that's put against those muscles. Through weights, you understand, free weights, or some of these machines and so forth. And it's the resistance that is actually resisting the use of your muscles that causes that muscle to be strengthened and to be hardened. Do you know what happens when astronauts go up into space in a weightless environment where there is no resistance? You know what happens to their muscles and bones? They begin to lose muscle mass and bone mass. That's why they have to exercise on a daily basis up there, because there is no resistance. And so their muscles begin to atrophy. Their muscles will begin to atrophy because there's no resistance being put on them. Will you understand that it's the same thing with our faith? Our faith is strengthened. Our faith is matured. It is affected to a greater degree by resistance. Put to the test.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory to God, this is good. Praise God. Look, and I'll read that same passage out of the NIV. It says it this way. You might be in heaviness. You might be sad for a while. You might be. You may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials, but these have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though it might be purified and tried by fire, may be proved genuine.
Hallelujah.
Why did God allow it to come? To prove your faith.
Hallelujah.
This is not bad news. This is good news. I like the way it says in the Amplified. You may be distressed for a little while by trials and suffer temptations so that the genuineness of your faith might be tested. See, rather than sitting back and saying, Lord, take it away, we should be saying, glory to God, I've got the victory. I'm more than a conqueror. God always causes me to triumph. I'm overcoming. Thank God that with God I can do all things. Amen. This is just a little thing. It's a small thing. Praise God. He's getting ready to promote me. My faith is being tested.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Amen.
No wonder he's telling me to rejoice. God is trying to promote me. Glory to God. I got promotion coming. Hallelujah. That'll make you rejoice. It won't get you all, oh, honey. Pastor, pray for me. The last few days I've been so mad. How you doing? Devil's been killing me all week. Let me just tell you something. That's not an overcoming attitude. Just so you know, that's not the way to overcome. Now, you know, if I'm pushing some buttons on you, that's okay. I've had to push those same buttons on me. Amen. I got to the place where those buttons don't work anymore. But my wife and I, we have a covenant. If she ever sees me looking like that or talking like that, which I don't, but if she does, you go ahead and poke me all you want and just slap me upside the head. She's got a phrase she uses. I didn't marry no old man. Get up. Because, you know, I'm 10 years older than her. I didn't marry no old man. And she's not going to let me. You understand that? You shouldn't let you either. Praise God. Glory to God. Well, see, now, didn't it say in this you rejoice greatly? Do you understand that the Word of God tells us that we should be exceedingly glad? Now, see, now, you might want to read the Scripture 4,000 or 5,000 times till you get it. Because if you're not being exceedingly glad, you're not in faith on this test. Which means if I see you walk in that door and you're not dancing, you might find me poking you. I'll poke you if I have to. Don't be coming in here like that. This is a place of victory. This is a place of power. This is a place of demonstration of the Spirit. This is a place where we triumph over the devil. Amen. I'll keep you, but I'm going to kick the nonsense out. I am not going to let those things affect my flock. I kick the wolves out and anything else that tries to devour them. James chapter 1. Look at verse 2 in James chapter 1. Consider it all joy, or count it all joy, when you fall into diverse temptations or tests or trials. Count it all joy. Isn't that what you do? Count it all joy? Praise God. Honey, no way we can pay this bill according to the way we're looking at it. Let's just rejoice. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you know, if you're not doing that, there's something wrong with you. You're not in faith. You know, you shouldn't sit down with your wife or your husband and try to figure out where you can borrow money. When you can use your faith to overcome the thing. Do you understand that? Oh, honey, I'm sick. Come over here and cry with me so we can both be miserable. But we'll put our faith on it later. Yeah. Right now, we just need a good cry. No. It says, count it all joy. Are you learning something? The Word of God says, count it all joy. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, according to Peter. Isn't that something how they're both saying the same thing? You think they knew a few things?
Yeah.
Do you understand that they had been put through a lot and they knew how to overcome it? Amen. Count it all joy, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped or encounter trials of any sort. That's what it says in the Amplified. Of any sort. Of any sort. Count it all joy when you encounter trials or tribulations, troubles or afflictions of any sort, or fall into various temptations. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith brings out endurance and steadfastness and patience. There's something God is trying to develop in each of us by allowing us to be tested and tried with troubles and afflictions. It's not God putting it on us, but God's allowing it for a purpose, and it's for our good. It's not for our bad. It's for our good. We may look at it and say, I don't like this, but God has said this is for my good. And I may not understand that, but if He says it's for my good, then it's for my good. If He says His plans for me are not to harm me, then His plans are not to harm me. And this thing will not harm me. This thing will not defeat me. This thing will not get the best of me. I am not going under. I'm an overcomer. I am the head and not the tail. I am not going to be defeated in this thing. I will not fail because I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me.
Amen.
This is what the Word says. See, we need to understand this so that we are willing to just face it head on. Don't run. Don't turn to the side. Don't try to get around it. And just get to it and deal with it. Man, I'm going to deal with this thing. And I'm going to overcome this thing. Because God said that He wouldn't allow anything to come on me that I couldn't overcome. Which means I can overcome this thing. No matter how bad it looks, no matter how bad it feels, no matter how impossible it seems, I can overcome this thing because God promised me that He wouldn't allow that on me if I couldn't. Which means I can. And even if the devil, the doctor, or anybody else, your Christian friends say, well, now, you know, it's going to kill you if you don't do something about it. Don't believe that. Believe what God said. God said He would not allow us to be tested beyond our ability to handle it, which means we can handle it. How long is it going to take? I can't tell you. You know, some fighters have to go 15 rounds. Some, there's a knockout in the first one. I can't tell you what round you're going to win, but you better be willing to fight to the end because you won't get the victory till you do. You won't see it, in other words. It won't manifest. If you quit, you lose, and you got to go through it again. Why do it twice? Or three times? Or five times? Or eight times? Or for 20 years? Or 30 years? Or 50 years till you finally end up in the grave, and then you get before God, and instead of saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant, He says, well, you're done. These things are not something to be afraid of. These are things to count it all joy, to be exceedingly glad, understanding, praise God, God is allowing me to be tested. That means I've learned what I need to learn, and He wants to promote me and bring me to that place of greater power. Glory to God. This is what the Bible says. I understand what people may say. This is what the Bible says. I understand what the devil might tell you, but this is what the Bible says. I understand what you might read in a book, but this is what the Bible says. I understand what you might have been taught in the past, but this is what the Bible says. And that means God said it. And if God said it, it's true. Amen. So you should be exceedingly glad. Glory to God. Let's stand up, praise God, and just pray and thank God for what He showed us today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You so much for Your Word. Your Word is true. It just reveals so much to us. Thank You, Father God, for showing us things we never saw before, teaching us things we'd never learned before. Hallelujah. Bringing us to that place of understanding and revelation so we can walk in these things unafraid. Unafraid. Walking in the power and demonstration of the Spirit. Glory to God. Father, we thank You for the tests. We thank You for the trials. We thank You for the troubles and the afflictions that You allow to come against us because You told us they're for our good and we can overcome them fighting that fight of faith and walk away the victor. Hallelujah. And so we thank you. We rejoice and we're exceedingly glad. Praise God. And we thank you that by your power, by your Spirit, Father, we overcome each and every one of these things because you always cause us to triumph in Christ Jesus. We're not afraid. Thank you, Father, that the devil is defeated. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Oh, we praise you and give you thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, if you agree with me.
We trust that this message has ministered to you. For the rest of this series, as well as other inspirational messages by Reverend Slide Moran, please visit our website at www.biblecities.com.